Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're building rock-solid convictions. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the storm, we're firm. When the day is clear, we're firm. When it's sunny, we're firm. When it's rainy, we're firm. Yes, Lord, we're building rock-solid convictions in here tonight. As the Word of God comes tonight, we lay aside all naughtiness, all filthiness, and superfluity of naughtiness, and we receive with meekness the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save our souls. Yes, Lord. We lay aside filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, haughtiness, and we receive with meekness the Word of God, the engrafted Word, with meekness of our hearts, which is able to save, preserve, keep our souls. In tonight's session, the eyes of our understanding is enlightened. We know what is the hope of our calling. Yes, Lord. The spirit of wisdom and revelation made available to us tonight. We are rooted firmly in our convictions, never to be shaken, never to be moved, never to look back. In Jesus' precious mighty name, amen. So we continue today with passions, convictions, and fire. But we were able to look at fire, and we touched a little bit of passions. We got to see how the expressions of the Holy Ghost is deemed as fire, but to a physical man who sees an outward expression, we say that it's seen in passion and convictions. I can tell you, people of God, whoever's listening to me right now, that what I'm going to teach you tonight is what will keep you for the rest of your entire Christian walk with God. Might not be exactly, but the concept of conviction is what keeps any man staying with the Lord or despising the Lord and following after their hearts and their own ambitions. So this is that very element that separates the boys from the men. You see that when the battle gets fierce, and it gets tough to pull through, it's only men of conviction who will survive in the latter end. Only men of conviction. So today we're going to be looking at a matter of conviction. And as I said, it is that one element that will keep you safe and sane in heeding to the Lord and following His plan for your life. One of the things to know about having a rock solid conviction is that it can never be hidden. You can never hide a conviction. Like I said, it is the work of the Spirit. And it is the Lord's Spirit that causes this to happen. A conviction is consummative. It consumes your mind. It's a matter of the mind. And one of the things that I've decided I was going to teach in the long run is the conquest of the mind. Because all of the devil's battles, his temptations, his distractions are going to come from the mind. That is where the battlefield is. So it is very important that every man fortifies the mind. You see, for those of you who are medical students and who have some inclination to medicine or drugs, you will see that whenever somebody is involved in an accident, we can call it okay if the person's hand is cut or if the person's leg is striped off a bit. And you will find out that many of the times we try to inquire whether the person's head was fine. For those of you who stay around places where they have a lot of motorcyclists, you see that these are very common. In Tamale, where I was, you see that when a motorist gets an accident, the first thing you're asking is that, is his head okay? Is his head fine? Because we get to see that once there is there's something called a cerebral vascular accident. It's a CVA. It involves the skull. Is once something happens to the head, the whole body is in very serious and severe trouble. If we have a blister on the hand or a blister even on the leg or something, there's not really a problem. But the moment we see that there is a blister on the head or there is a certain swell in the head, then you see that, you know, the doctors are requesting for an ultra scan. Why? Because the head is so important. The head is where the brain is. The brain has very, 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 very vital organs that are connected to it and its functioning. So once the head is perforated, the head is cracked, the skull is cracked, then we don't want to hear something like that. And many times, people are more likely to survive accidents when their heads are in good shape rather than when their heads are in bad shape. Why? Because that is what controls many vital organs and many vital activities of the body. In fact, many activities that happen in the body are connected to the brain. Breathing, even standing, there are posterior sides of the brain, anterior sides of the brain, responsible for balance, responsible for distribution of certain oxygen to certain sides. Your smell, your intuition, everything is like connected to the brain. So if we are not able to fortify that side of your body, if we don't fortify it, now that's the same for the spiritual man. It's the same. Where the battle actually is the mind. That's where the devil takes the war to. He takes the war right to the battle. That is in the mind. So whenever you have thoughts come to you, that's the battle already. Paul calls them strongholds of the mind. Whatever you keep your mind on, whatever you stay on for a while, becomes strong to deal with. And it starts to rise up itself against the knowledge of God. And the moment it starts to rise up against the knowledge of God, it starts to fight the very things that God says about you and what He wants you to become. So why I'm teaching this is so that your mind can be fortified to a certain kind of an extent. Because if it's not, we will always find that you are probably not sure. That means you don't have a conviction. In your mind, there are three other ways other than that one way. When your boss asks you to do something so that you can get a promotion, in your mind, you just do it. So it's not a problem to you. They tell you ditch the ministry for any other purpose, you just ditch it for any other purpose because there is not a conviction. But if we are able to fortify, we're able to keep the mind, we're able to protect it from lies, we're able to feed it with certain things that will cause it to repel against false and news that are not true, then we can have you staying in the faith to the very end. And so tonight, your mind is going to be fortified in a certain way. You see that? My mind is fortified. God has helped me, and He continually helps me to fortify. To place a fortification is to place a very tall barricade around you such that nothing becomes penetrable. It's like the moment they try to enter, nothing enters because the mind has been fortified. There's a fortification of the mind. A fortification of the mind. I see someone's mind being fortified as the teachings come to you in Jesus' name. So convictions. I said this is where you see that the boys have separated from the men. You see darkness blooming up ahead, and the men are able to get right into the darkness, and the boys are saying that, no, Charlie, you go, the Lord's with you. We will again, because let this not be your story. Let this not be your story. That you wake up one day and suddenly your mind has changed concerning ministry. Suddenly your mind has changed concerning following the Lord. Suddenly your mind has changed concerning, you know, living a life that wants to be pleasing and serving to the Lord. But you will make your bodies holy and acceptable unto the Lord, pleasing to His sight. And what happens is that there is a daily renewing of the mind such that you walk in what God wants you to walk. Convictions. So what are convictions? Convictions are firmly held beliefs or opinions. Convictions are a firmly held belief or opinion. It means that anything that happens is Jesus. It's firm.
Jesus, the Son of God, is lifted high. Wonderful and glorious, Jesus, the Son of God, is lifted high.
Convictions. People who will say, no, 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 no. We know what we have chosen. We know where we are going. We are not blind. We are sure of it. We are sure of it. This thing, we are very sure about it. It doesn't matter whether it works out or it doesn't work out. We are sure that this is it. We found it. Serving the Lord is what we have found. It's a strong conviction. So a conviction is a firmly held belief or an opinion. So when we find you holding firmly to a belief or an opinion, we can say that he is convicted about this. So normally when we say that somebody has a conviction, it means that the mind cannot be changed. The mind cannot be changed. The mind cannot be changed. You can't alter it to a certain way. It's like the mind is made. The mind is made. You know, people with weak convictions are people who easily succumb to other ideas that they have not held in esteem way beyond or way before they started out the journey. For example, a great man of God shares a story about how they were going to buy a certain land. It was actually Bishop Dar. And then he was sharing how they bought the Anakazo land. And they said they went to see, okay, I'm not too sure if it's Anakazo, but I'm sure it's that. They went to see the person who owned the land, and they told the person that we want to buy this land, we want to buy the land, we want to buy the land. So The man said, no, he's not going to sell the land. He's not going to give them the land. The land is for them. Then Bishop Doug just sat there and said, he was just looking at the man quietly. And he mentioned some amount of money. And when the man heard the amount of money, the man said that, you should go to think about it. And Bishop Doug asked, I thought you said that you were not selling the land. He says that, you know what the man said? He says, what is a mind for if it cannot be changed? Yeah, that's what the man told. He said, what is a mind for if it cannot be changed? Such a person does not have convictions. Does not have convictions. Because he says, what is the mind for if it cannot be changed? Are you such a Christian who is going to be somebody that they just say, oh, we see that you are struggling to serve the Lord, so let me offer you this so that you will just change your mind on whatever is happening, and then you also say, no, okay, let me think about it. No, you should grow up having a conviction. Don't be like that man who sees money and changes his mind. So what is the mind for if it cannot be changed? To a man of conviction, what is the mind for? It should not be changed once you are convicted on something. So, a conviction is to hold firmly to a belief. To hold firmly to a belief. To hold firmly to an opinion. And many times I told you that it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Do you know how long it took Jesus to come as a man and save man? Several hundreds of centuries went into God being convicted that the world needed to be saved. And so he needed to send us a savior to save us. It took God a long time. Look at the time Adam and Eve decided, made up their mind, they were going to go against and rebel against God's decision. And see the time Jesus appeared. Look at how many patriarchs had passed by. Yet still, God still had his mind made that from the very beginning that he was going to save man. And then we see Jesus appear on the scene. Is a set of a mind. No boyfriend, girl, father, mother, sibling, uncle, auntie should be able to set it again. It's a conviction. Firmly held belief. So many of the times, as we go through the years, for those who will be around, you will see men of conviction. Men who make sacrifices to follow God. Men who are not easily convinced. You cannot be convinced. A conviction to follow the Lord, you follow it. A conviction to serve the Lord, you follow it. I'm sure when I'm old, I can say I've served God throughout my life. It's a conviction. I want to be able to say that. That all I did and all I've ever done was to serve the Lord. Ever since I was young, ever since I can remember, I was whatever year, I gave my heart to the Lord. It's a conviction. I see men of convictions in this place. I have a story that will bless you. I stumbled on it a few days back. Not this one. When I'm about to say out, I'll share it with you. It's a wonderful story about Jonathan. Nobody, I've not heard. I was like, wow. Acts chapter 21. Let's see conviction. Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21.
Verse
Toranate shevre gishton brava tele jivre gete le metodo. Jende shte la kushte vivanando roba bosheve ketana. Taluche ve vivo sotono sopra gishte tele shte grateno spatila. Gidendo sopra vavia subra vevia strombo vuvusta tela crashtomba liva shatana. Jeve guido stonda la bradeste kile dato rol bostagi ve jeve futa barando spaduande stil progotuste. Taroshe veve viva. Yes. 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 The mind of a soldier. The mind of a soldier. Taradoshe. The mind of a soldier who sees war and dives right into the war. Yeah, these are the minds I'm raising in these times. Men who will get right into the war. They'll pick up their slings. They'll pick up their swords. They'll pick up their instruments. They'll pull up their shields. Pull up their belts and fight right in the war. They'll be fearless in their pursuits, without restraint in their actions, focused in their minds, convicted, karosh devre deviva. For I, the Lord, is doing this in many hearts today. And yea, the army, that has always been spoken about by fathers, poratele siso subradana. They take the fair front and they fight the world, they fight its destructions, they fight its ambitions, they fight men taking up swords, men taking up slings, men taking up shields, men taking up pora shatabar. An army convicted to follow the Lord. Taronosto pregetelo susta branda siso sobradaba. Oh Trump, do they march on? Oh Trump, do they march on? Oh Trump. It's the sound. Yeah, the sound of a battle. Torah, Taylor, Sable. Just before my final appearing. Man of conviction. Torah, Taylor, Trump. Trump. It's the sound. I see it. Ha ha. Ho ho. Man of conviction. Thank you. Parosha. Trump. On they go. Parosha. Vrade besto pravade de seto lamanada. I see it. Man of conviction. Yeah. Not one man not convicted will be in this army. Toranete, Jeveleto Stopratera. Trump. Off marching they go. Tarabasha. For I, the Lord, am going to be strong in their midst. I, the Lord, am going to do special things in their midst. I, the Lord, am going to fulfill my desire in their midst. Torah Shadabai. These are they that I raise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts chapter 21, verse 10. Let's go back into our study. That's what the Lord is saying to us. Acts chapter 21. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 21, verse 10. Acts chapter 21, verse 10. There was a time where Paul is one of the most convicted men that we see right there in the Gospels, right there in the Epistles. In fact, all the disciples were convicted because they died for the cause. But Paul outstandingly stands out tall. He's outstanding. He stands out tall. In Acts chapter 20, verse 10 to 40, the writing of the Acts makes us understand and sees a picture of conviction. Paul was supposed to go somewhere, and it appeared that where he was going to go, there was going to be a lot of resistance and a lot of pulling back and a lot of restraint. So let's follow the story very closely. Verse 10. And when, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. So there was a prophet who was about to prophesy about his going. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus saith the Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the hand who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So he was speaking about Paul. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. So saints and other believers, knowing that the prophet Agabus's words were always on point, and you know, the prophet Agabus could prophesy, started begging Paul and pleading on Paul and crying to Paul and saying that, "Please don't go." Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound." This was Paul's response. "I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Many of the times Christians like to be excited. "My God shall supply my needs according to his riches." That was Paul saying to the church in Philippi. But you would realize that this was a man, the man that was saying those words that you are excited about and happy about, was a man that was willing to die for the very cause with which he spoke. So listen to his reply. "Why are you weeping? Why are you breaking my heart?" NLT. "Why are you weeping? Why are you breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord." So he says that, "Why are you guys so jittery about this whole prophecy?" He says, "Don't be." He says, "I am ready to even die for this." But there is nothing. Okay, you are saying that I'll be bound when I go to Jerusalem. No, I don't even want to be bound. I am ready and my heart is ready to give itself for this cause. I'm not ready to only be jailed, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Many of the times, the story of Revelation makes us see that martyrs have a special place with the Lord. Those who died for the Lord, they have a special place. I'll show you the scripture, not today. They will be very, very different from people who lived their entire lives. Yes. People who gave up their lives. Now, you might not be able to become a martyr where maybe you give your life or you go to a certain Indian company or Indian nation where you'll be slain or killed. But daily and every time of your life, there is something that God demands you to do. There is somewhere that God demands you to be. There is a task that God wants you to do that entails a daily dying and a daily wanting to die to yourself and die to your ambitions and die to the things that are around you. I told you by God's Spirit that those who will be relevant in the forefront of what God is doing today and what God is about to accomplish and what God is about to do are people who can lose things, who can suffer in the midst of something, and who can give themselves for it. Men of conviction. Men of conviction. Wherever you are, lift up your voice. Pray out for 2 minutes. Say, "Lord, whatever pastor is speaking through this session, I want it. Lord, make me a man of conviction. Lord, in my heart, let there be a stirrings of convictions in this place. We will not draw down our swords. We will not give up. We will not follow the things of this world. We say, Lord, we want to be men and women of convictions. Men and women who are convicted about a cause. They are not hurt by whatever is happening around them. They are willing to give their hearts. They are willing to die even for the cause. Men of conviction. Ask God for this. In the next 2 minutes, just ask God for this. You are saying, Lord, make me a man of conviction. A man that is passionate about the things of God. Tarushta, bratoste, vivetola, bradesh, de Christo, prando, roboboja, le crescete, vivo, rom, brocotolo, moste, pregete, bada, apude, vida, bada, costo, prevetena, apule, katana, chefra, tusta, brando, copola, We cancel fear. We cast fear. Bible says that he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Let fear jump out the window. We cancel fear in the name of Jesus. We cancel fear. The fear of tomorrow. The fear of what will happen. The fear of what if we give our lives to this cause. The fear of what if we serve the Lord. The fear of what if it will not end up well. Listen to me. The Lord will diligently reward them that follow and seek after him. Lord, men of conviction, men who are convicted. Katumba, Parakatosa, Lord, we ask for convicted hearts in this place. We pray our convicted hearts in this place. Rabadosa, you are cutting the conviction. You are cutting the conviction. Get a conviction. Get a conviction. Get a conviction. Get a conviction in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Amen. So Paul was ready to be given to the cause. Verse 14. So when he will not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. He could not be persuaded. When the saints realized that they could not persuade Paul, some of you, it's just somebody that started mocking you and you have already given up. Say, why are you doing yourself osofumami, osofumami, osofumami? That's all. You just decided that you won't do any osofumami thing again. You have just stopped. No conviction. Zero conviction. Zero conviction. But after tonight, when people call you osofumami, you say, yes, the hand of the Lord is upon me. That's what Jesus said in Luke 4:18. He says, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. He says, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal brokenhearted. He says that he has also anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. And he has told me to proclaim, he has anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is going to be your story, is that the Lord God and his Spirit is upon me. You not be afraid. Don't be afraid. So Paul is saying that he made up his mind that he was going to be a man of conviction. When they realized that they could not talk him out, when friends realized that they could not convince you to drop this osofo mommy or this osofo papa or this osofo uncle or osofo auntie and all of these things, when they realized that they cannot stop you, you see that they will leave your matter. They just say, okay, you want to serve the Lord. We understand you now. We understand you. We know that as for you, God has called you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing them that were sick. Ratopalas, I see that grace upon your life in Jesus' name. How God is anointing and has given you his Spirit, put his Spirit on the inside of you, made you a witness of his glorious cause and his glorious call of the gospel. I see you picking up your swords tonight. I see you picking up shields tonight. I see you picking up helmets tonight. I see you picking up your belts. You are going back to where you fled from. You are going back to where you fled from. You are going back to where you fled from. Because after tonight, you will become a man that is convicted, passionate, and fiery. So Paul said that I will go. Verse 15. And after those days we packed and went to Jerusalem. Also some of his of the disciples of Caesarea went with us and brought with him a certain nation of Cyprus, an elderly disciple with whom we were to lodge. We have a long story, so follow carefully. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went with us, in with us to James, and with all the elders were present. When he greeted them, he told them in detail those things which God had done amongst the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said, you see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles. So you see that? Paul is telling us something. So he was teaching all the Jews who live amongst. So he was teaching all the Jews. Who lived amongst the Gentiles to turn their backs from the law. Now, this was the reason the prophet Agabus was prophesying that he should not go. But you see, there were a certain kind of a Jew somewhere that needed to hear Paul preach, that needed to hear Paul teach, so that their hearts will turn away from their evil and wicked ways. Let me tell you something. If you do not respond to this simple call of serving the Lord and doing the Lord's bidding, there are people that are tied to you who should have known the Lord, followed the Lord, served the Lord, who never will. And their blood will be upon your heads. But you are going to be able to save them. So watch what happened. We're jumping. Verse 25. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, verse 25, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing, except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Then Paul took the men, verse 26, and the next day, having been purified with them, entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. Now, when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him. Crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people of the law. And this place, and furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple, for he defiled his holy place." So you see what Paul is doing? Paul is carrying out God's agenda of causing men to be saved from Jewish laws and Jewish traditions. Somebody that they said he should not go, he will be caught. He says he will go. He went, and he was actually doing the will of the Lord. And actually, they seized him. They caught him, just like Agabus said, the prophet prophesied. They caught him. See what happened in verse 30. And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple. And immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were seeking to kill him, So we see that the prophecy of Prophet Agabus is coming to pass. Paul was actually seized. He was actually about to be killed. Men of conviction. I'll show you something that will shock you in this story. When you see it, you say, wow. It means that it's not everything bad that happens that God is not involved in. There are some bad things and bad turnouts. As you serve the Lord in the ministry, or as you want to follow the Lord, God is involved in those things. When I say bad, I'm not saying you'll be sick, because sickness has already paid for it. When I say bad, I don't mean you go to hell. You can't go to hell, he has already paid for that. But there are certain pressures and sufferings that you will save that he is very much aware of. He's very much aware of. So they seized Paul. They took him to the commander. Verse 33, the prophecy is fulfilled. Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he was.
and what he had done. And some amongst the multitude cried one thing and some another. And when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. So he was caught. Verse 35, men of conviction. As Paul reached the stairs, the mob grew so violently. Let me read the NLT. The soldiers had to lift him. The soldiers had to lift him. To their shoulders to protect him. And the crowd followed behind, shouting, "Kill him! Kill him! Kill him!" Let's go to verse 37. A man of conviction. In the midst of the tumults, in the midst of the disappointments, in the midst of the beatings, in the midst of the shouting against, in the midst of the killing hymns, in your life, in the midst of things that are not going well, are you going to be still on that course, or you're going to shift course, or you're going to be convinced in a certain way out of what God wants you to do? Verse 37, NLT. I like the NLT version. See what happens in verse 37. Okay, I think I should stick to my New King James Version. Karabo shatelemanda. As Paul was about to be taken inside, he said to the he said to the commander, "May I have a word with you?" Let me tell you something. This man is not okay. I'm telling you, the man is not okay. I'll show you the question he asked, but more so, he wanted to strike a conversation of the gospel with the commander. I believe so. I believe that Paul, even though he was caught by people, raised up above the people of the soldiers, being about to be thrown into prison, he meets the commander and he asks, he says, "Sir, can I ask you a question? There is something I want to ask you." What a conviction. What a conviction. Lift up your voice wherever you are. Say, "Lord, I want to have a conviction. I want to be able to stand with what I believed from the beginning of my life." Everybody pray for the next 1 minute. Begin to speak in tongues. Begin to speak in tongues. You're saying, "Lord, you're giving me a conviction. A rock solid conviction. One that does not change. It does not change. It does not change." Conviction. In the name of Jesus. So Paul is saying, "May I speak to you?" Hey, may I speak to you? He's going to prison, but may I speak to you? Things are difficult in your life, but do you know Jesus Christ loves you? Things are tough, or things are not the way you want them to be. You say, "Have you read John 3:16? You know, it seems like things have not turned out the way you want them to be. But you're saying, let's have a discipleship session. Let's teach the word of God. Let's preach the word of God." It was the same conviction with Paul. Never giving up. Many times, you see that people just quelling. Say, this prayer thing, I prayed. They said we should keep praying. I prayed for 1 week. Only 1 week. You're already losing out on your convictions for prayer. No. 5 years, you still be praying. 5 years, you should still be praying. He was about to be led into the barracks. He says, "May I speak with you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up the rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out of the wilderness?" But Paul said, "I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, I implore you. Listen to Paul. He says, I implore you, please let me speak to these people. He was not begging that, please don't throw me into prison. Please. He said, please, can I speak to you? When he got the way into the mind, he said, please, can I speak to the people? Conviction. Be convicted. Be convicted of following the Lord. Be convicted of serving God. Let me tell you something. Whatever I'm preaching to you, if Jesus were coming in the next 2 or 3 years, what I'm preaching to you, see, that is very, very important. It's very important. We don't know when he's coming. Maybe next week. We don't know when his final appearance is, it will be here. Yes. So, take it really seriously. Get a conviction tonight. It says, permit me to speak to these people. Barashate brusto brende legistada barendi esotada. Gentej givo dosto. Right there, and he's giving the permission. So when he had given him the permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned his hand with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, he's now explaining his experience and his encounter with God. Speaks about his revelation, chapter 2, verse 1. To six, he's still speaking about revelation. Explain to them how he was persecuted. Explain to them how he became poor. Explain to them how he saw a vision on his way to Damascus. Explain how God told him to arise and go into Damascus, and how great things will be told him and great things will be appointed him. Explain how Ananias came to him and gave him the testimony. Then he said, Allah both show prevegetable stop radaba. 22 verse 14. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will. You should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Man of conviction. A man of conviction. Paul is now preaching a sermon to them. He said that you know that you have to receive what I'm giving you. Receive it. He didn't drop down his sword. People of God, if you don't have a conviction, you can't serve God. You can't serve God. And listen, do we see the gospel in there? Verse 16. Then he said, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Is that the gospel? So why are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. He's preaching the gospel. Many of us need to have a conviction. Listen, when we say convictions, it does not mean you will not be bound. It does not mean nothing good or bad is going to happen. It does not mean we're going to have an all rosy road throughout and through all the journey. But is that whenever it gets bumpy, we don't jump out. We hold on firmly and strong. Whenever it gets bumpy, we hold on strong, firmly, to the things that we have learned of. Verse 22 and 23. They listened to him until this word, right? They listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with you, such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Verse 23, then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging. You know what scourging is? They were going to lash him. Ah, my goodness. The commander brought Paul inside and ordered him lashed with whips to make him confess his crime. He wanted to find out why the crowd had become so mad, so crazy, so loud, so furious. When they tied Paul down to lash him, Paul said to the officer standing right there, is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't even been tried? When the officer heard this, he went to the commander and asked, what are you doing? This man is a Roman citizen. A conviction. Many of you need to be set on your desire to serve the Lord in the ministry. Many of you need to make up your mind on ministry. Many of you need to say that, see, I will serve the Lord. Not till next 2 years, or not till my visa arrives, or not till that job opportunity arrives. The service that I have covenanted with the Lord is forever. It's forever. It's forever. It's forever. It's forever. Whether I am married, whether I'm not married, whether I have money, whether I don't have money, whether I become famous, whether I'm not famous, whether I whatever, I have convicted and I am convicted to serve the Lord forever. Serving the Lord. Now, follow closely. Chapter 23, verses 10, 11. And then 12. Chapter 23, verse 10, 11, and 12. Get a conviction. Let your head be hard. Let your head be hard. You start a job. See that the job is taking your time. You don't have time for church. You don't have time for anything in your life. It's only the job and your life. No. Get a conviction. Get a conviction. Say that, can you come to work every other day, Sunday inclusive? And you see that a believer who doesn't have a conviction will say, oh, Sundays are just church days. You know, I can just switch church and then do whatever I have to do. No conviction. Have a conviction. Have a conviction in your discipleships. Be convicted about what you are doing. Never give up and never have a change of mind as to what you are doing. Never change your mind towards it. In that ministry that the Lord has given to you, the sound ministry, the music, the prophetic ministry, the apostolic in your life, never give up on it. Have a come to amount. You say that, this Christ family, I just started all. But I think I have a conviction. Chapter 23, verses 10, 11, and then 12. Have a conviction. I'll read. Verse 10. Now when there arose, okay, let me read NLT. And as the conflict grew more violent, the commander was afraid they would tear Paul apart, so he ordered his soldiers to go and rescue him by force and take him back to the fortress. So they were taking him back to the barracks. Now listen to what the Lord said. Not man. Listen to what the Lord said. Everybody listening?
That night the Lord appeared to Paul and said, oh my God. He says, be encouraged. Be encouraged, Paul. Just as you have been a witness to me here in Jerusalem, you must go preach the good news in Rome as well. God didn't say that. See, the prophet said that when you go, you'll be bound. No, the Lord is saying that just as you have suffered for me here, it's the same way you enter into Rome and go and suffer for me. It means that it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord. In the midst of Agabus' prophesying, it pleased the Lord that Paul was going to be punished and beaten and severely scourged for his sake. So he says that be of good cheer. That's what the Lord is telling you today, people of God. If you can hear him. If you can hear him. If you can hear him. He's saying that be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Paul, for as you have testified of, so you must also bear witness of me in Rome. And then they said an oath that they would neither eat or till that until they had killed Paul. And that's why the Bible says that we all should pray that we will be delivered from evil and wicked and unreasonable men. For not all men are of the faith. So you see, some people have put their stomach down. They are saying that we will not eat until Paul is killed. Until Paul is killed. But let me tell you something. You don't kill men of conviction. Because the Lord is with them in their convictions. Men of convictions. Medrach, Shedrach, Abednego, Meshach, Shedrach, and Abednego. Men of convictions. We will not bow. We will not bow. They were convicted. Thrown into the fire. The king sits down. He says that we threw a number of people. But we see a fourth man in the fire. Now many of the times whenever we go through things that we are not to, there is a fourth man. There is a certain angel. There is a certain presence that goes with us. We might not just see it. But beloved, those things are existent. They're existent. There's a fourth man in the fire. There's a fourth man in the fire. We see somebody, but there is a fourth man in the fire. Who is that fourth man? It's the angel of the Lord's presence. The angel of the Lord's presence. Man of conviction. Listen, make up your mind to follow the Lord. Make up your mind to fulfill the ministry. I tell you, one of my greatest desires is knowing that God has called me into the ministry. And I want to do something for him. That's just all. Those have been my greatest desire. It's like, okay, God, you called me. Let me not fail you. So many times in my mind, I feel like, Pascal, don't fail God. In my mind, that's how I feel. Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like, Pascal, don't fail God. 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 See, don't fail God. Some of you just some rich guy would just come and pack a Benz. You're already following him. You are cheap. You are very cheap. God has no investments with you. No investments. Just one Benz. Just one Benz. You have changed your mind. Just one mansion. You just show that I have one mansion here. You have changed. Cheap. I know me, the devil has suffered with me. I don't know. He knows that. He tried severally to change my mind. Unchangeable. Because I should have left you people. See that they just give you some money. And you are already thinking like, have a weak mind. But today your mind is becoming fortified and strong. Some of you have weak convictions. Let me tell you something. There is something about this ministry. There's something about this ministry. There is a grace of God and there is a staying power for ministry. Yes. If I don't know anything, I know this one.
that there is a staying power and there is a grace for me. It's like whenever you just stay, ministry, you will end up with ministry. It's a grace in this house. Yeah, it's a grace in this house. It's a grace in this house. You can see it. So that's why when you stay away for a short while, you see that desires for ministry start to seep out of your heart. It starts to seep out because that grace is here. It's here. It's here. It's like when you stay, you become either a prophetess or a prophet or an apostle or a pastor or something that reasonably serves the Lord in a certain way, certain song ministers, just something. You become something in the Lord's vineyard. You will become something. Yeah. It is here. So if you want to be, you want to serve the Lord, as I'm telling you, to have a conviction, stay here. Stay here. Some of you just live 40 minutes away from whatever we do in at Lagos and on town, and you don't come. That's one of the instructions the Lord asked me to give tonight. Is that wherever you are, bind yourself to wherever we meet. Every time is a grace. It keeps you staying. Yeah. I don't like to always say this. Everybody around me, except for one person that I know, I'm like, God, if they at least they should just follow. They should just follow me, because the way my heart is convicted. If you follow, you are in a safe place. You are in a safe place. There's nothing like turning back or something for me. Ministry, we are doing ministry. We are serving the Lord. We are becoming excited. We are loving the Lord. And we are flowing in great demonstrations and depths and the things of the Holy Ghost. It's another grace here. So you see that some of you are just there. You couldn't do anything. It's like you came amongst, and there is a part of you that you never dreamt that it will come alive. It's starting to come alive. It's a grace. So stay. Not let nobody tell you that, see, we are going very far. If you think this is just a spike, you'll be shocked. It's a grace. A staying kind of a grace for ministry. It is a grace. And that's what I'm teaching you tonight, is that you have a conviction to preach, a conviction to raise disciples. The ladies here, let me tell you something. Never be 30 years old and 35 years old and you make careless statements like, as for me, you know, I now have children, so hey. Never. When we see you become 30 years, we should see discipleship groups. We should see you having halls. You come to me and say, Pastor, my disciples are now 2020. We want a hall. We want to move him into a hall. We want to have meetings. And you are preaching, and your baby girl is also there, also at the back. 2 years old, she's at the back, or 5 years old, she's at the back, or whatever. 40 years old, your child is somewhere playing the drums, or 60 years old, we must be this resolute on following the Lord for the rest of our lives. Our children will do the same. See, we'll grow to have children and children and children who said that this one will say, this Barry's son, you know, he's the one that is gone to South Africa to handle this. And Barry, that is the testimony we want to have. That is what we want to see. That's what we want to have. That is what we want. The testimony of generations and Levites serving the Lord relentlessly, regardlessly, despondent of anything that happens around them. Convictions. I will serve the Lord. My children will serve the Lord. My family will serve the Lord. The people around me will serve the Lord, because I'm going to be on it for the rest of my life. You're saying, Lord, I will serve you for the rest of my life. I pick a conviction. No car, no money, no job, no opportunity will let me get so jittery that I rethink this decision to serve you. Rethink this decision to serve you. Many of the times when we don't have a conviction is when we become lazy, because there's nothing that drives us and pushes us to do what God has called us to do. But tonight we are receiving and having a conviction in the name of Jesus. Yeah, conviction. Conviction. Many of the times when we are lazy, it's because we are not convicted. We're not convicted. But laziness is jumping out of the window. You will be convicted. See, let me tell you something. You have a Benz. A conviction is that you will continually preach the gospel even when you have a Benz. When you have a Benz and we are going to preach the gospel, don't sit in your Benz and say, we can't get out from the Benz. No. You say, to hell with a Benz. You get out. You walk out. You put your suit in your car and go and preach. Go and preach. Go and preach. Leave your Benz at home. Leave your Chrysler. Leave your G-Wagons. Leave your Corollas. Leave your whatever. And get down and get into the mud and go and preach and have sales and move from one place to the other and do the work of the ministry aside anything else that you are doing. Do all those things. A conviction to serve the Lord. A conviction that never shifts. A conviction. If you don't have a conviction, you can't go in that direction. So many times, get a conviction. I want you to have a conviction. Something that you firmly believe in. And you die with. How many of you have realized that anybody who has ever become something great has a conviction? Yes. Anybody who becomes something great has a conviction. It's either they have a conviction in that project they are doing, in that career, in that whatever, they have a conviction. So the moment you do not have a conviction, you are not going to become anything great. It's like you're going to settle with the mediocre stuff. Yes, if you don't have a conviction, you can't become great. Only those who are great are those who have great convictions. And that's how things actually respond. Yes. Let's look at another interesting story. I was flipping through, reading out some stories, and I was like, what? Such conviction. Now, it's quite interesting that Jonathan, who was actually like Saul's son, died with him in a fight. But before that, there was a certain kind of a conviction Jonathan had exhibited. After his father Saul had been afraid of the Philistines and what they were doing. Oh no. So at a point in time, Saul became so full of fear, afraid about the Philistines, such that they had to stay in a certain place. Now, Jonathan, who happens to be his son, another picture of a conviction. Had a young man with him. So he was walking with a young man. Almost like a partner in the war, in the battle. And they took counsel together. Watch what happened. Now it happened, 14 verse 1. I think NLT will do. Where I want to pull out a KJV, I will pull out a KJV. 1 Samuel chapter 14. We are reading, no stopping. One day, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, Come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost. But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing, because his father would not have agreed. Meanwhile, in our camps and where we are the Philistines, and they are ready to chop us off. So he told his armor bearer, let's go over. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Gibeah around the pomegranate tree at Migron. Among Saul's men were Ahijah the priest, who was wearing the vest of Ichabod's brother, Philistines. To reach the Philistines' outpost, Jonathan had to go down. He had a conviction that these Philistines, useless Philistines, they cannot keep us afraid and full of fear for nothing. So he called his friend. They reached the Philistine outpost. He had to go between two rocky cliffs. And they were called Bozes and Sina. Beloved, many times in having the convictions, you're going to have more resistances on you. But what are resistances to a man who has a conviction? They are like bread for him. He chews them and he moves forward. The cliff on the north was in front of Michmash. And the one on the south was in front of Geba. Listen to what Jonathan did. He says, let's go across into the outpost of these pagans. I see people going into the outposts of unbelievers, onto the outposts of their hostels, onto the outposts of campuses. And this was what Jonathan said. Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He says, he can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. I said, what a conviction. Do you know the number of Philistines these two folks were going to approach? What a conviction. What a conviction. Listen to me. When I read the story, the Lord told me. The Lord spoke to me. He said, Pascal, you don't need a lot of dedicated people to win Ghana. A lot of dedicated people are good. You need people of similar hearts as you. Maybe just a friend on the side who you say, come, let us go to the outpost. Let us go over to where the Philistines have their outposts. We are not going to be sentimental about it. Let us preach the gospel. Let us hold more meetings. Let us go into hostels. Let us raise more disciples. Just the two of you. You and your disciple. You and the person you are following up on. And he said, perhaps the Lord will help us. Listen to what he said. He had a conviction. He said, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He says he can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. Listen to what the warrior said. He says, do what you think is best. Hearts that are knitted together in the vision. Hearts that are knitted in the Christ family vision. Say, we are moving to the outward and to the southward. And then people who will say, do what you think is best. So you see, there was somebody who held on rightly to the words of Jonathan. And they were just two. They were just two. They were not 55. They were just two. Taradosto breke telo susta brando shevre ke telemando. Wow. Do what you think is best. People who follow the army bearer, the armor bearer reply, I am completely with you. Whatever you decide. Yeah, whatever you decide, we are in it. Whatever you want to do, we are there. Just give the siren, we are going. The armor bearer must not have been wise in his own eyes to say that. So, Jonathan, please come and listen. Jonathan, the decision you are taking is not wise. It's not a wise decision. Just do what you think is best. Listen, as you go out to preach, and as you go out, the Lord does not need
50 people to take a campus. He needs you alone. He needs a Jonathan who can hold the hand of another man and say, let's go and preach. Do what you think is best. Alright then, Jonathan told him, we will cross over and let them see us. For if they say to us, stay where you are, or we will kill you, then we will stop and not go up to them. But if they say, come on up and fight, then we will go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them. Glory to God. A conviction. Remember, Saul was afraid to do this. It was Jonathan, his son, that grows up. He rose up and said that we are going to have an evacuation of a certain camp. If they tell us to come forward, we're going to stand there. They'll catch us. A conviction is that whether it works or it does not work, and we don't know what's going to happen, but this thing, we are going to do it. This serving the Lord, we are going to do it. This discipleship, we are going to do it. This flowing in the things of the Spirit, we are going to do it. This joy, we are going to become it. We don't know how it's going to turn out. We don't know what is going to come out of it, but we are sure that we are convicted. When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes. Then the men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan, come on up here and we will teach you a lesson. Come on up here. We will teach you a lesson. Remember, the Lord God of hosts was with them. He says, come on up here. We will teach you a lesson. He says, come on. Climb right behind me. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, for the Lord will help us defeat them. I see the Lord helping you defeat things that seek to prevent you from fulfilling his call, and anything that stands against responding to the Lord's call is cursed in your life. In the name of Jesus, only that which should foster you towards fulfilling what God has called you to do will happen in your life. In the name of Jesus, you will raise up your voice and say, come on up here, come on up here, come on up here. You say, the Lord God of hosts is with me. The Lord God of hosts. 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 So they climbed up using both hands and feet, and the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed those who came behind him. They killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered over about half an acre. Suddenly, listen to what happened. Because two people decided that we are going to do what God wants us to do, we are going to take, and we have a conviction. Suddenly, panic broke out in the Philistines' army, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outposts and raiding parties. And just as an earthquake struck and everyone was terrified, the Lord, who was mighty in their midst, had started to cause confusions in the camps of the enemies. And they turned one to another and they fought one amongst themselves. They raided their own parties. Then an earthquake struck and everybody was terrified. Convictions. Listen to me. If you have a conviction, I'm telling you, you will be shocked as to what God can accomplish and to what God can do in your life if you have a conviction. Remember, Saul never had a conviction. He was afraid. Firm convictions. Convictions in the fact that God is with you. Sometimes you must just be convicted that God is with you. Yes, be convicted that God is with you. And he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Be convicted in it. Speak it to yourself. Hear it over and over again to yourself. Be convicted that the Lord's hand is upon you and he has called you. It doesn't matter if you are a woman or a man. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Be convicted. Remember what Jonathan is doing. The panic is breaking out because two men, in fact, one man who is convicted draws in another man and there's a change. Confusions all around. Saul's lookout in Gibeah of Benjamin saw a strange sight. the vast army of the Philistine began to melt away in every direction. In every direction. Call the roll and find out who is missing. Saul ordered. And when they checked, they found that Jonathan and his armor bearer were gone. Men who had a conviction went right into the battle to fight it. And guess what? Guess what happened? The Lord honored their conviction. The Lord is honoring your conviction. The Lord is honoring your conviction. The Lord is honoring your conviction. The Lord is responding to your conviction. The Lord is honoring your conviction. So the vast army of the Philistines, Saul ordered. And when they checked, they found that Jonathan and his armor bearer were gone. Then Saul shouted to Ahijah, "Bring the ephod." You know what the ephod is? The priestly regalia. At that time, Ahijah was wearing the ephod in front of the Israelites. But while Saul was taking to the priest, the confusion in the Philistine camp grew louder and louder. I see you causing confusions in the camps of the enemy, ripping souls out from hell, preaching and raising people and making disciples wherever you find yourself. So Saul said to the priest, "Never mind, let's get going." Then Saul and all his men. Now see, the people without convictions are now rushing out of into the battle. And then they found the Philistines killing each other. There was terrible confusion everywhere. Even the Hebrews, who had previously gone over into the Philistine army, revolted and joined in with Saul, Jonathan, and the rest of the Israels. So the people without conviction are now coming and say, "Hey, there's a war. They are killing them. So let's just kill them. Let's join them." No, I have a conviction. Are you listening? Have a conviction. Have a conviction. Have a conviction. Have a conviction. Never let anybody mock your desire to love God and follow Him. Never let it happen. Sometimes when people even look at me like they want to feel pity that you are serving God, I look at them, I rather feel pity for them. They don't know. I rather feel pity. Let me tell you, I rather feel pity for people who choose not to. I feel pity. You are not supposed to pity. I'm not in the position where you are supposed to pity. I have angels walking around me, angels talking around me, the Lord showing me things and talking to me, revealing His plans to me. I pray for people, they are healed, lay hands on things, things happen. I should be pitying you. You shouldn't pity me. I should pity you. You don't have what God has given me because I am convicted. Yes. So when you see people of the world looking at you in a certain way and trying to feel pity for you, you should rather feel pity for them. They can't pity you that you are serving the Lord. You never preach. I always go out to preach. You are pitying me because I go out to preach. What's the pity about this? I should be pitying you. You are not preaching. That is not a place to be. That's not a place to be. Say, "Hey, no, don't pity me. This serving God is really hard. I should be actually telling you that you have a pitiful life. Because you are not serving God. And I'm doing something useful with my life. You are the one to be pitied, not me." That's what you should tell them. "You are the one to be pitied, not me. Don't pity me. I have the Holy Ghost. I have His joy. I'm full of God. I'm born of God. I'm fulfilling His will. You don't pity me. I should pity you." Yeah. I should pity you. Never let the world look down on you. And never let the world look down on you and tell you, "You don't have this, you don't have that." Never let it happen. Let me tell you something. I don't like to talk about this many of the times. Christ family, we are going to have one of the most wealthiest congregations in the world. Yes. Yes. But you see, when you come in our midst, you will not hear a lot about money. It's something that God gives. Something that God gives. People are always talking about money, money this, 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 money every day, money every day. No. money, every time money, no serving God, no evangelism, no desire, money. I think we're going to be loaded people. It's one of our inheritances. It's me, the Lord has told me. And some of you, your life will turn in a second and everything has become new. That's how you know the Lord is with you. Won't come with any compromise. It will come in a very nice way. But you will have a conviction. Are you listening? Have a conviction. Have a conviction. Trust God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. I want you to believe God. Become like Jonathan, who holds his hand of his armor bearer and say, let's rush into the camp of these Philistines. Let's go into them. Let's go into them. Let's go there. And when they went, the Lord caused confusions by just one person holding on to another and saying, let's get into the camps. Let's cause some commotion there. They didn't even get to fight. You are receiving godly convictions in Jesus' name. Never look at the transportation you have to pay to church, you have to pay to this. Never do that. Never do that. Never do that. You go to work 5 times a week, you don't complain about going for transportation. But the ones you pay 1, 2, 3 church, you say, oh no, the transportation for church is too much. Let me find a church that I can easily walk to. Okay, why don't you find a job that you can easily walk to? Why don't you find a job that you can easily walk into? Find a job that you can easily walk into from your house. It should just be 5 minutes walk away. You see, when you don't have a conviction, you just treat the things of God very lightly. But you will leave from Cape Coast to Accra every day to and back because you want that job. Have a conviction, people of God. Have a conviction. Have a conviction. In everything that you do, don't just do it because you just throw it away and you do it. No, have a reason. Be strongly persuaded about it. That's how you can be blessed. Yes, that's how you can be blessed. Our last scripture, Judges chapter 7. Have a conviction. Are you listening? Get a conviction. Let me tell you something. One of my early convictions before God caught me into the ministry was that I always said that as for me, God has not called me, but He has called me as a financier. So I'll make money, then I'll help the ministry, but I'll not be part of the ministry. I'll just give to the ministry. No, that's not a conviction I want you to have. I want you to have a conviction that wants to give and help. But much more, God wants you yourself as a person. So in my mind, I was just like, when I see a man of God, I really like, I note him in my heart. Like, okay, that's somebody you have to give heavily to so that his ministry can be there. You can be looking for money and all of that. My early conviction. No, you'll be giving to the ministry, your money will be given to the ministry. That's a worthy conviction to have. Have a conviction for giving. You see, let me tell you something. Don't give because somebody is saying that you should give. Ask for that one, it's not good. Have a reason why you do. You are fully persuaded that that is something that you do. Have a conviction for everything. Have a conviction for prayer. Believe that when you pray, God hears you when you pray. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Have a conviction for everything that you do. Conviction for serving the Lord in the ministry. Have a conviction for everything. Have a conviction that when you meet somebody, their lives are not the same again. They can't be the same again. Yeah. In Judges chapter 7, let's read Judges chapter 7. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. We're just going to go like that. So
Jerubbaal, with Gideon and his army, got up early and went as far as the spring of Harod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves from their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid, leave this mountain and go home." You see, leave this mountain and go home. So you see that they were going for a certain battle. And the Lord said that your soldiers are too many. Tell those who are afraid to go home. Listen to me. When God tells you, tell those who are afraid to go home, it means that He is trying to enlist people into His army. He's trying to enlist people into His army. So never be afraid. Never be afraid. Listen to what happened. 22,000 of them went home. 22,000 of them got up and went home, leaving 10,000 who were willing to fight. 22 just said, "Hey, Gideon, you see, I have a son that I have to leave because my wife, I just married. In fact, two months, I just married. I don't want my wife to be a widow. For that reason, I'm going." Now, what is God doing? God is enlisting men into His army who will fight a certain battle, who will bring glory and honor to His name in what He's doing in the earth at that time. That was what was happening. So 22,000 men, 22,000 got up and went. Some men are there, but they are almost urinating in their pants. They a battle, power, sword. Somebody's thinking, blood. Say, no. See that two people are discussing amongst themselves. Charlie, this battle, the way I see the battle, it really could be fierce. Charlie, we go. Charlie, you two, they go. Charlie, I fear. Oh, Charlie. You two, they go. Oh, see the fear, the voice of the fearful. Oh, boss,
me, I just there. I know if you fight. See my muscle. I just will go home.
Fearful and timid. No, I see men who will become bold and strong and not be fearful and not be timid. You see that five friends. They say, "Charlie, I they go. You two, they go. And Charlie, we they go. Ah,
you go past the." Watch this line there. You make me pass that side. We go now and we just go enter there and just go home. Charlie, this battle, you know, before small boys. We know we can't die for here. We they won't live long, so we know like that thing.
22,000 leaving 10,000. Listen to what the Lord said. Somebody's not even married. He's thinking about his girlfriend, and he goes. You know what that means? It means they were never enlisted in what God was doing in His day. That's out of God's plan. They just drop their swords and they leave like nothing has happened. Verse 4. But the Lord told Gideon, "There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not." The Lord is enlisting His army. I see the Lord enlisting you. Yes. The Lord enlisting you. You see, in Jesus' birth until His death, you see that the Lord kept on enlisting people who will play specific roles in the birth of Jesus. We see prophecies coming from Isaiah, prophets coming in, prophecies coming in from Joel about the power of the Spirit. We see prophecies moving in, men declaring that there is going to be a certain kind of a Savior. We see Marys enlisted, men who will carry and keep and stay and harness God the Father in her womb. We see a Joseph, men who will stand by these women and be pivotal in the fulfillment of God's plan. We see the three wise men, men who will bring and offer gifts at Jesus' feet and will offer him 9 ornaments. We see people like Pontius Pilate against the call and against all of these people are right in God's plan. We see the prophetess Anna who is praying for the appearance of Jesus. We see Simeon who received the prophecy that he will not die until his eyes have beheld. We see a John the Baptist who comes to introduce Jesus. We see people who have played specific roles. We see John, we see Peter, we see men who stood with Jesus, who stood and ensured that the plan of God had been fulfilled. We see Andrew, we see Judas who played a specific role. We see Paul come after everything else that happened. Everybody had a place. In Christ's family, everybody has a place. Everybody has a place. The grace of God that He has put upon your life, it has a place to function and it has a place to work. Everybody has a place in the fulfillment of that great thing that God wants to do on the earth. I believe it. I believe it. Everybody bringing out their tools, convicted. So men without conviction are men who just drop out. They say, we are not interested again. People of God, don't drop out. Remember, in the latter side of the battle, in fact, the battle was not even fought any fiercely. But you see, those men were enlisted as men who stood with God and with what He was doing. I see you having a conviction, and I see convictions bursting forth greatly. Greatly. See, sometimes you must look at people and tell them that I've chosen to serve the Lord with my life. It's not a matter of you will be bound. No, we know we are going to be bound. But you see, we know that God is with us. That's the most important thing. It's not like things are not going to be difficult, but there's God's grace that helps us in difficult moments. But we are aware that once we are going to fulfill out what God wants to do, there are going to be resistances. But we can still hold on to those resistances. And you know what God is saying? He's saying to you, like He said to Paul, look, I have much work for you in Rome. I have much work for you in Rome. People of God, you must be a person of conviction. You must be a person of conviction. To be convicted, and I mean, to not be convicted is to be lifeless. People who have convictions, they rule the world. Are you listening? And we're going to rule the world. Men with convictions are difficult to contain. You know, many times, suicide bombers, the people that you think they are suicide, they are convicted that what they are doing is the right thing. Yeah. So suicide bombers who attack innocent citizens, they have a conviction that what they are doing, something is right about it. They believe that is a holy kind of a thing that they are doing. You can't put a man of a conviction in a box. And let me tell you something. All of you, your discipleship groups, all of you, nobody follows men without convictions. So you must get a conviction. Get a conviction. Have the conviction. God has called. Listen, some of you, it's just a conviction you should just get. That's all. Because what God wants you to do is very evident. It's staring right in your face. And it feels like it's slipping out of your hands. But because you don't have a conviction, you can't see that, okay, I'm going to follow it. We're not saying that there will not be some times where it's like they are going to catch you like Paul. There are going to be those times. But Jesus sees us and He says, I have more work for you in Rome. I have more work for you. What are the things you are supposed to accomplish in life? Get a conviction about those things. Never give up on those things. Be a man of conviction.
have a conviction in this. So my disciples are not responding. You say, they will respond and I will go out and make more and I will look for more. I will get more. I will serve the Lord with more. Be ready to give up anything. Men of convictions and men of sacrifices. They were men whom armies sought after. I think it was Hitler or something. When they were almost catching him. See him? Yeah. Took a gun and shot himself so that he would not follow them, not go with them. Saw that this, I can't do this thing. A man of conviction will not let down them. See, even if we are caught, they will not come and cut. They will pick a gun, shoot himself, pick a gun, shoot his other partner. They die there. Man of conviction. It's better we die for this than to do it the other way or to live to see it happen in another way. Man of conviction. Like I said, some of you will not have to die. Some of you have to give up those relationships. That boy is telling you, lying to you. You're also playing along. Because you don't have a conviction, you're just following. No. Get a conviction. Get a conviction. Sometimes it looks like you are praying, nothing is happening. Be convicted in the prayer you are praying. You are fasting, it looks like nothing is happening. Be convicted in the fasting you are fasting. Have a firm, unchangeable belief in whatever that you see happening around you. Never change your mind. Never change your mind. I understand this with all love. Sometimes family can come against you. Family can speak against you. Family can fight against your convictions. But let me tell you something. In all love, in all respect, stick to your convictions. Never change what you believe because of family. Never change the word of God and the persuasions of God's word in your heart because of family. Never change it. See, I'll never change it. Never change it. Never change it. Never change it. Last scripture. Marasatolo Mostrabatile Seve Kendropon. We're reading Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 downwards. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Our last scripture. Mark chapter 10. Get a conviction. Tell someone, get a conviction. Get a conviction. Get a conviction. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. We are reading downwards. Now, as he was going out of the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" This was actually a rich young ruler. He had grown with Bentleys, had things coming in his father, scarred for him. Every weekend, had everything to his disposal, had all the goodies of life, enjoyed everything that he could enjoy. He was rich, he was young, and then he meets somebody. "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear witness, do not be defrauding, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth," the rich young ruler. Jesus is about to show us conviction. Some of you have had all the goodies of life. Maybe, maybe not. You probably might have lived an okay life. But Jesus is saying something to him. He says, "I've done all these things, Master." Then Jesus looked at him and said, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." This was where the problem
started. This was where the problem started. Many of you can give up so many things, but you can't give up one thing. That one thing, God knows it. Yeah. Many of you can give up so many things, but you can't give up one. If there is one thing that God wants you to give out so that you can follow Him. Sometimes it's ego. You can give money, you can give love, but you can't give ego. He says, give it out. Come and follow me. Rich young ruler. I don't think there's anybody, because yesterday the Lord actually in my heart, it's like He was telling me in my heart that no, you don't think they are like that. So my mind has changed. See that? So there's nobody here like that. So that we say that give, it feels like we are pulling your tooth out of your mouth. That's what it is. So you are not like that. I'm just saying an instance. See that you're not like that at all. But you are lovers of the work. So when we say give, like the rich young ruler, you can give your time, you can give your small, like you can give something. But when we say give money, go and sell your possessions and bring it. Pastor is trying to take our money. That's not you. You don't say that. But that's what people will say. Pastor is trying to steal from us. Pastor is trying to... No, that's not you. Again, I'm just making a statement that many people will say. The pastors are now lying to us. No. No. Go and sell your things. And follow me. Come. Follow me. Follow me. Some of you, it's just simple follow me you can't do. You can't follow your discipler. You can't follow. You can do everything. Can buy him shirts. Can say, oh, sir, wow, you like the way you follow up on us. Oh, sir, thank you for your follow. See, I have party. I have engagement. I have wedding ceremony. Uncle, sister, cousin, brother. He says, follow me. Put whatever you have to do aside. Follow me. Follow. Come. Be there. Be present at meetings. Sit down. Learn. Do everything that is involving. Get involved. Jesus told him. He says, go. Many of you must know that one thing and be ready to give up that one thing. Know what? Me, I knew what that one thing was. Yes, I knew what it was. Could have deliberations with the Lord over and over again. I said, no. And I'm not a liar to the Lord. When I stay with Him, I don't lie to Him, because I know He knows my heart. When He says something, I say, this one, Lord, I know, no. And He says, yes. I say, are you sure? So yeah. Give it to me. Give it to me. I said, Lord, take it. Listen to me. These are not things I've not done. These are things my life is a testimony of. So he told the rich young ruler, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. Oh, the rich young ruler could not imagine himself become something. Could not imagine himself having about just 5 clothes. Some of you, let me tell you something. Some of you, don't buy that shoe again. Give that money out. You have 12 other shoes. Don't buy it again. It's those things that would, see. Let me tell you, I read a Kenneth Hagin writing yesterday on your pastor and finances. And what I saw, I said, dear Lord, please save my people. He said something, it shook me. He says, people's life can literally become stagnated because they don't honor their pastor. Yeah, this was Kenneth Hagin. Yeah, he says their lives don't move in a certain direction because they don't honor their pastor. Yeah. So you see that their lives are all at a certain way, like a
certain. It doesn't go high to a certain level. And they were, I'm telling you, I don't, let's leave that. Even me, I was afraid for you. To an extent where God appears to him in a vision and tells him why a certain church is not doing well. Because he refused to take an offering from them when he stayed them, when he was with them for 3 years. The church people were not financially prospering. They were not doing anything. They were just not blessed. And he would never take an offering. And God told him, that is why. That is why. You never taught them what my word says. He says, teach them my word. Don't add your sentiments to it. Teach them what they have to do. Show them how they have to do it. And I said, wow. So that's the same thing they were telling this rich young ruler. I'm telling you today, that shoe you brought, 11, don't mind. Give it to some. Give it to the ministry. Give it to a brother. Give it to some. Like, just be useful with everything else that you have. Many of you have many dresses you don't need. You don't need additional ones. Honestly, you don't need additional ones. How many. See that brother, give it to him. See that sister, give it to her. Your pastor, give it to him. Yeah, I've stopped those things though, because I've seen that if I don't start teaching you, it will not be good. Canadian literally calls it a curse when a pastor has to scramble for his people. I saw that, people of God. I'm not the one even saying it. It's like your life, that things doesn't happen in a certain way. That's the same thing Jesus is telling the guy. Go and do it. Oh, see what happened. No conviction. 22. He was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Oh. He couldn't give up that thing. He says, this one, Lord, I can give everything. I can stop fornication. I can stop drinking. I've not even insulted my father before. But this one, Lord, I can't do it. And then he turns his back. Let me tell you something. The greatest opportunity Jesus Christ will ever give you is to tell you to follow him. Have a conviction to follow him. It's the greatest thing that you will ever do for yourself. The greatest call is for the Lord to tell you to follow him. And in following him, and in birthing forth convictions, be prepared to lose something. Don't be afraid of losing things. Don't be afraid of losing things. Don't be afraid. That's something I'm not afraid of. Don't be afraid of losing things. Don't let losing things or whatever become a hindrance to your following God. Don't be afraid to give. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What you will reap is more. Not just monetarily. Listen to me. What you will reap is more. Not just monetarily. Returns of having money come back to you after, that's a small thing. Many of you must start to obey the Lord in simple instructions he tells you. To lose things, to give things, to love God in a certain way. Simple instructions. You know what the Holy Ghost told me? He said, Pascal, if you don't obey me in little things, you can't obey me in the big things. When he said that to me, I was afraid. So you see, it's in this little obedience that you now hear me say that the Lord told me take right, I took right. The Lord told me take left, I took left. I entered into a certain place in the realm. It's with this little obedience. It's not anything. It's the little obedience that you do for the Lord. Little things.
The leading of the Spirit, knowing where to be, knowing what to do, is the little things that you start with that the Lord will give. I know that there is not a time the ministry needs something that the Lord has not convicted somebody to give. But yet do you see that your hands are tight? No, not anybody in this place. Like I said, when I say it, I'm not saying, I'm just giving a general thing. I'm not saying you are like that. You are not like that. But I'm telling you that when you start to obey the Lord in the little things, then you have a conviction. So the guy here had no conviction. Right? He was sad at the word. He went sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Don't ditch the ministry for somebody who says that I don't want you to do ministry. This ministry, you know, I'm not a man of God. No, don't have a weak conviction. The guy had a weak conviction. Do you see that? It paints the picture of a weak conviction. Yeah, it paints the picture of a weak conviction. He just turned soberly and then he left. And you know what he did? I can tell you something. What this story is saying, this rich young ruler, he could have become maybe someone like Peter or John or something, because the Lord would have had need for him. Or he could have been part of the 120, but he didn't, because of his wealth. He just turned back and let it go. Nobody knows what God could have done with his life. Nobody knows what God could have accomplished in his life. Look at such an opportunity. Jesus Christ of Nazareth telling you to go and sell all your possessions and follow him. What a conviction he didn't have. But I see you having a conviction in Jesus' name. You have ideas that you are firmly holding on to that are consistent with God's word. You will never give up. You never give up. You have a conviction. You will follow the Lord. Your children will follow the Lord. Your family will follow the Lord. Your disciples will follow the Lord. Everybody is going to serve the Lord. You will make sure it happens. You yourself will not be out of what God is doing. You are having a conviction. You are being strengthened in your convictions. You are saying yes over and over and over again. Over and over again. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that men are growing up having convictions. Yes, Lord. Have a conviction. Have something that you believe in. That's how you can become something wonderful. Have something that you believe in. Something that you know that you must do. And hold on to it. Hold on to it. Never leave it and never let it not happen. I have a conviction. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous conviction. I have a conviction. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for men who have convictions in this place. More and more and more and more convictions. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Rock solid convictions. Tell God 30 years from now, wherever I'll be, I'll still serve you. I'll still be in ministry. I'll still serve you. I'll still follow you. I'll be giving to the work. Yes. I'll pioneer many discipleship groups and sects and fellowships. Lord, I will have it happen. I'll build many churches. I'll oversee many churches in the name of Jesus. Have a conviction. Let me tell you something. Anybody that you see around you that is doing something that you love, the person is convicted about it. You can become the same. It's just that you don't have a conviction. But I see you having a conviction in Jesus' name. Whatever the Lord is doing in this time, the Lord will do with you in the name of Jesus. Because you have a conviction. Remember, like the story of Joshua,
Don't allow him shortlist you. Don't tell that everybody who is afraid and timid. Tell them to leave the battlefront. That's stepping out of God's plan. Never watch that happen. Never stand and see that you are being taken out of the Lord's army. Never allow it happen. Have a conviction. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. The Lord is helping people in this place. It's like the Lord is soothing your heart. He's putting before you a conviction. You will never give up that conviction. Conviction of serving the Lord in the ministry. Conviction of living for what is right. Conviction for doing the ministry and serving Him passionately and with fire. Whether it's working, it's not seemingly working, we don't care. All we know is that it's working and it's responding every time. Because we have a conviction. We're men of conviction. Men who are giving to the Lord and to His purposes and plans. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for tonight. I am seeing convictions birth in this place. Convictions are going to be birth in this place. Men and women of convictions. Men who believe something. They believe the ministry. They hold on to the ministry. They will not look to the side. They will not look to the left. They will love the Lord. Loving the Lord to the very end. We thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory for convictions bed in this place. Rock solid convictions, impenetrable convictions, unshakable convictions, unmovable convictions all over in this place. In many hearts, hearts are open, and men are becoming solid, rock solid in their convictions. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Wherever you are, make your way to meetings. You're going to start services, make your way to services. Make your way there. Stay there. God is doing something great. Many of the times, the people who actually are able to resist are the people who will be the 10,000 and then further on be reduced into the number that God will actually be shortlisting into what He's doing. Men of conviction. Father, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.